Bereavement comes from the word reeve, which means to be robbed of something that belongs to you, to be dispossessed. We can use this idea to express our feelings during any catastrophe. When a man has a heart attack and has to change his way of living and working, something is taken away. His choices and decisions that previously were his. When a woman has a mastectomy, something is forcibly taken away, a possession that is rightfully hers. When parents lose a child, they are dispossessed of something very dear. When people go through the ordeal of divorce or the loss of a loved one, they are often left with the feeling of being robbed. Any other situations can carry a sense of irrevocable injury, rape, chronic illness, birth of a defective child, the loss of a job or a dream or a goal, the loss of personal belongings in a fire or flood, a major geographical move which involves leaving family and friends. There is also the ultimate dispossession, facing the loss of your own life. Life involves all of us in significant losses. There are choices we make, and there is reality that in pursuing some of our dreams, we leave other dreams behind. Though events of our own making and through those beyond our control, we realize that we are human and we are vulnerable. It's a realization that none of us like to face, but it's something we can come to understand. Grief is not a mental illness. It just feels that way sometimes. Sleeplessness, anxiety, fear, intense anger, suicidal ideas, a loss of interest in activity, a preoccupation with yourself and with bad feelings. You may think that all of this adds up to going crazy. Actually, each of these things is a part of the grieving process. You probably don't need professional help, just an understanding of the battle you're fighting. At first, we're likely to move back and forth between a calm frame of mind and tearfulness. We feel bewildered and stunned, although we're quite capable in manner. There's a disbelief toward what has happened. Gradually, a depressed mood sets in, a mood that will affect all that we think and do for quite a long time. Years later, it may be clear that our loss has transformed us, that a rich process of self-discovery has come from all this. But for now, we battle with depression. Everything is a reminder of the loss. It's as if there's a giant conspiracy in operation, inflicting pain. If you have lost your health, your career, someone you love, or a part of your body, you will look with resentment at dozens of people who haven't any idea what it is to be in your situation. One of the insanities of grief is that the rest of the world seems to go on thriving while the pulse within us seems so deadened. Grieving people go through a very personal healing process, which is called desensitization. As time goes on, we re-encounter many of these persons, places, objects, and experiences, which initially were quite painful to us. We become desensitized, not hurt as easily. Our losses change us and change the course of our lives. It's not that we can never be happy again following an experience of loss. The reality is simply that things can never be the same again. Loss has a way of changing our lives dramatically. Even the form of our thoughts about the future undergo alteration. So do we ourselves become transformed. Many of the changes will be positive, life-awakening experiences. Some of the transformations will profoundly enrich our lives. However, that is definitely not how life feels to us at the beginning. The idea that learning and personal growth could come from our loss is almost a disgusting idea while we are hurting. It is distasteful when someone else, not consumed by our grief, patronizingly suggests it. Guilty feelings are almost an inevitable part of grief. Whatever the situation, in one way or another, we're likely to blame ourselves. While we may genuinely feel blameworthy, usually our self-blaming thoughts are unrealistic. We are overly harsh with ourselves. We stretch our imaginations to believe that we are responsible for anticipating or preventing events which ordinary mortals could not have possibly prevented, or twisting human-sized mistakes into criminal proportions. We feel guilty as if we had intentionally brought harm to ourselves or another person. We feel guilty in a time of loss because we're still human. We will always be capable of greater wisdom in our minds than in our deeds. We don't have gifts of prophecy, and we do have limitations. The most important thing in dealing with guilt is understanding that it is inevitable, whether realistic or unrealistic. When we can begin to appreciate the normality of our troublesome feelings, we aren't so alarmed by them. Life requires all of us to make choices. Inescapably, we make some wise choices and some foolish ones, and sometimes in our choosing, we make enormously painful mistakes. What if, so hand in hand with grief, most of us need some time to rehearse how things might have been otherwise, or how we might have acted differently. But the time will come to move on, and you will find that you no longer need to blame yourself. A wide range of physical changes can accompany an experience of loss. Not only through tears do we cry out our pains of grief. Under the stress of what has been unrecoverable loss, our bodies have dozens of ways of weeping with us. You may experience any number of physical discomforts. Headaches, digestive disturbances, and aching limbs are the most common complaints. Insomnia, irritability, restlessness, moodiness, and the loss of appetite or increased appetite may also be experienced. Some people engage in frenzied activities. Others lose interest in activity. Muscle tension, fatigue, poor memory, and difficulty in concentrating also are discomforts that can accompany grief. Some people have acute anxiety attacks characterized by trembling hands, heart palpitations, dizziness, and shortness of breath. Many people experience fearfulness. Studies have shown that younger people show more physical symptoms in a process of grief than older people. Whatever your age, however, you are likely to be troubled by some physical expression of loss. Even with good friends and the ability to continue to work, some physical expressions of loss may be a discomfort to you early in grief and on a periodic basis thereafter. You can be reassured by the knowledge that physical symptoms are simply a part of the normal grieving process. We yearn to recover what has been lost, and our bodies cry out for that yearning. We need to realize that anger and bitterness can be a good sign. Anger is an energy. It cannot be destroyed or forgotten. It has to be converted. Many people have for most of their lives associated feelings of anger with disastrous consequences, such as abandonment, excessive punishment, doom-oriented stress, and destruction. The anger equals disaster equation may have been learned in your family or from religious teaching that God condemns and punishes human feelings rather than understands and forgives them. Such teachings are unfortunate. Most of us ask, why me, when we suffer loss? The fact is that there is no fairness in war, disease, natural disasters, accidents, divorce, birth defects, rape, or death. People who play their lives to lose can suffer terribly, and so can those of us who play to win. Suffering the loss of someone or something precious produces a sense of protest. This is true whether the loss we are struggling with was beyond our control or was in some way chosen. Normally, it is not so important when our feelings of protest find the light of day. What matters is that, at some point, we recognize and express our feelings of bitterness. We may not be consciously aware of these feelings, but usually the anger is present and will take its toll in hidden ways, if not brought out into the open. Sometimes writing out your anger on paper can be helpful. It's a way of bringing feelings of anger to the surface. Remember that your thoughts aren't harmful to anyone, and neither are your words shared in private. Anger can be masked in the form of fear. In our body chemistry, anger and fear are very similar chemical mechanisms. Sometimes, when we believe ourselves to be engulfed in a state of fear, we are actually fighting submerged anger. The angry phase of grieving frequently is an indication that our healing process is well underway. It signals the fact that we are not denying our loss, but facing it. Grieving people who have been depressed for many weeks or months usually feel much better once their angry feelings come out into the open. It is important to the healing process that we be with the pain. Experience the desolation. Feel the hurt. Don't deny it or cover it up or run away from it. Be with it. Hurt for a while. hurtful, angry, or guilty feelings that we try to deny stay with us for years and years. It is better to learn how to be our feelings, to surrender to them at times with trusted friends and family. When we have completed the grieving process with all its phases, we often find ourselves freer of conflict and sorrow than we otherwise could ever be. The person who resists grieving may successfully ward off intense pain, but a nagging ache will take its place. Denied feelings of grief can be expressed in hidden ways. A low-grade crisis may then endure for many years. A moodiness, irritability, restlessness, nervousness, abuse of alcohol or drugs, general dissatisfaction and disappointment with life. Grief doesn't go away just because it is ignored. In grief, people become oblivious to the obvious. Skills for survival and sources of comfort are overlooked. For this reason, it is important to stress some very basic self-care activities which can help you feel better. The most self-loving action any of us performs in a lifetime is learning how to develop and sustain close friendships. Friends within the family and friends aside from the family are two most essential sources of caring. If you haven't the one, you really need the other. Those who are willing to invest the time and undergo the struggle to have both tend to lead very satisfying lives. Suffering itself does not do us in or sabotage the will to live. Usually, we sabotage ourselves by foolishly trying to live our lives in isolation. Without the comfort and love of other human beings, none of us is very strong. Aligned with others who accept us and support us, we can survive most anything. Grieving involves pursuing those environments where healing best takes place. It is in establishing a sense of bondness with others. It involves risk-taking. Even while you are uncomfortable with sharing your pain and would prefer to remain alone, you'll need to seek the company of other persons. In dealing with your grief, you may find that you look for comfort and friendship from different types of people. An empathetic person is a good listener when you really need to talk. He may have different values from you, but doesn't shame you or judge you for living in your own way. This person can be fully trusted with your secrets and confidences. He is not embarrassed by your tears and does not regularly give you unwanted advice. An empathetic person is warm and affectionate with you and reminds you of your strengths when you forget that you have these strengths within yourself. He recognizes that you are growing and trusts you to be able to come through your difficult times. He may sometimes become impatient or angry with you, but doesn't attack your character when telling you so. He may not feel comfortable with a certain feeling you are expressing, such as hate or a particular sexual yearning, but tries to understand what the feeling means to you. An empathetic person will tell you honestly when he is unable to be with you because of problems or needs of his own, but he is faithful to commitments and promises. You may have to look around for a while for such a friend, but you can probably discover an empathetic person where you live or work. One thing is certain, those who are capable of responding to your grief cannot be identified without risk. There is simply no other way to come to have an empathetic person as a friend. We come close to others by risking an honest sharing of ourselves. Empathetic people are special friends because they accept us as ourselves. They accept troublesome human feelings as a normal part of living. Usually, one gets this kind of friend by being this kind of friend. There will also be people in your life who are basic care providers. They attend to our basic needs and reduce the stress of coping with daily problems. They express caring for you in practical ways that are comforting and helpful, and you can receive this caring with appreciation. One comes to have friends who are basic care providers by getting to know the neighbors, certain relatives, parents of your children's friends, people at work, and people you meet at social gatherings. By being friendly and open, initiating conversations with people, you'll come across the basic care providers. Neighbors and others who are strangers can become your friends once it is clear to them that you are truly interested in them as persons. If you take an honest interest in things that are important to others, they can come to be interested in things important to you. You are willing to become helpfully involved in others' lives in practical and thoughtful ways. You'll see plenty of caring return to you. There may also be people in your life who are destructive. You may have shared good times and consider yourself to be good friends, yet somehow lacking in this friend is the ability to support and to care. He may be jealous and resentful of you, or may be too insecure to sense your needs. The destructive person may harm you and complicate your grief in a wide variety of ways. He may tell others things that you intended to have kept in confidence. He may forget to repay money borrowed from you or forget to return your belongings. He may respond to you in ways that are poorly timed or somehow unsettling and tell you stories of tragedy when you are feeling vulnerable. He may make light of things meaningful to you or continually question your decisions. He may make apparent to you his disapproval of other people's behavior, which resembles yours, or labels your feelings and behaviors as sick, weird, childish, stupid, lazy, or selfish. No one is helped by having contact with a destructive person, especially if the friend is more consistently destructive than caring and helpful. You need to ask yourself, why are you continuing the relationship? It is a self-destructive act on your part. Place yourself in settings that are alien to healing. You may think that you must tolerate the punishments of a destructive person because no one else will care for you. Perhaps it will help you remember that destructive people can only intensify your hurt and prolong your grief. There are many good people in the world, people who can become available to you. Good friends are to be found in all kinds of places and in all age groups. If you've already discovered this, you're either really lucky or really smart. Friends help to remind us not to discount the realm of the ordinary in our sorrow. Everyday activities shared with others provide nourishment. Companionship is healing. There's a solace in athletic activities, card playing, concerts, movies, a college course, a good book, meals and drinks shared, and interesting conversation. Activity itself can be a healer. Some people so expect to be unhappy in life that they bring considerable unhappiness upon themselves. In psychology, this is called a self-fulfilling prophecy, that what one expects of himself in the way of joy and sorrow, one plays a significant part in creating. Person A suffers loss and passes through a difficult mourning period, but eventually expects to be free of the pain and to resume a productive life. Person B suffers loss, mourns the loss forever, and expects never to be free of pain, never to resume a productive life. Eric Byrne would have probably said that person B is scripted to be unhappy. It is likely that he learned at a very early age to expect suffering and to fulfill this expectation. Although suffering scripts tend to be highly resistant to change, we can learn to expect satisfaction from life instead of unhappiness. First step is recognizing the problem. If you believe that you are fated for unhappiness, you can change this belief. Roles and attitudes in life are learned and can be unlearned. You can seek the help of an understanding friend or a trained counselor to receive support for bringing about the desired change. One of the main problems with being human beings is that much of what we learn in life we overlearn. Dangers of many kinds present themselves, and we learn how to cope with them. We may learn too well. One definition of a psychological hang-up is an overlearned protective mechanism. No one is without psychological hang-ups of one kind or another. All of us have protective mechanisms which were once necessary to survival, but which are no longer essential or appropriate to our life circumstances. Because our defenses weren't left behind with the circumstances that produced and required them, they've taken on a life of their own. and now impair our relations with others and our attitudes toward ourselves. Most of us have been deeply hurt in the course of our lives. Loved ones have departed from us. Tragedies and disappointments have befallen us. On occasion, we have trusted people who have betrayed our trust. Intentionally or unintentionally, others have hurt us. One of the ways that scars remain is that our view of the world is colored by past experience. Vows made to ourselves years ago, such as, "I'll never let myself get hurt again," continue to dominate aspects of our lives. By completely closing down the gates between ourselves and further entries, we also close down the channel through which could flow what is needed for our nourishment. Once it is recognized that we have overly defended ourselves against suffering, we can begin to reopen some of the gates. Probably there will always be, following an experience of loss, a more protective mechanism in operation than are necessary or helpful. One of the hardest things to do is to release our unrealistic expectations concerning what we feel life ought to be. Life ought to be more fair. Life ought to involve choices not equally painful. Life ought to provide more opportunities to grow through joyous times than through suffering. Each of these notions is an unrealistic expectation. Life is what it is. We are all vulnerable and needful people. In human life, fairness has nothing to do with illness, death, divorce, accidents, shattered dreams, or other losses. The world cannot be what we want it to be. We find that as we release our unrealistic expectations of life, the space is created for realistic self-renewal. In other words, we begin to recreate ourselves, our goals, our relations with others, and our approach to living. Because our expectation of ourselves and others gradually become more realistic, we become less easily disillusioned and more easily satisfied. And in our daily routine of living, we find a beauty, a joy, and a peace that we had always overlooked. On this side of the tape, we will go through a series of exercises that will allow you to integrate and to apply the information that you heard on the other side. A word of caution before we begin. Never play this part of the tape in a moving car, for this is a relaxation tape and is designed to help put you into a relaxed state of mind. So never play this tape when you are to maintain concentration in the awakening state. Find yourself a comfortable position as we are about ready to begin with the relaxation portion of this tape. Close your eyes. Begin taking a long, deep breath in through the nose, filling up your lungs as much as possible. Hold the breath. Mentally count from 1 to 4. Open your mouth and begin exhaling all the air from your lungs, allowing your body to begin to settle down and relax. Begin tuning into my voice, and I am going to describe to you a very restful and a very peaceful and a very relaxing scene. Imagine that it is a beautiful spring or summer day, and you find yourself either sitting or lying on a warm, grassy, sandy beach. You can feel in your imagination the warm breeze blowing over your body. The sky is an emerald blue, and the sun is warm and comforting on your skin. Off in the distance, you can see the swaying of the trees. Feel the warmth of the sun. The sun is directly over your head now, and feel the light from the sun shining down in an area about 5 feet around your body, as if you are in a protected cocoon. Feel the warm white light from the sun pass, and then penetrate from the tip of the right hand all the way to the shoulder, and it's experience the warm light from the sun penetrate through the skin, and then move to the layer underneath, the muscles and the tendons. Feel the warm light from the sun penetrate every muscle, every nerve, every bone in the right arm, from the tip of the fingers all the way to the shoulders. Feel the right arm beginning to release and relax, deeper and more relaxed by the moment. Shift your attention now and let the warmth from the sun to the left arm. Experience the light from the sun entering the hand. Feel it move over the wrist and then the forearm, right past the elbow up to the bicep, to the shoulder, and feel that left arm from the shoulder all the way down to the fingertips become so very, very relaxed. Some people say when they get relaxed, their arm gets so heavy they can hardly move it. Others respond by saying they become light and tingly. Whatever your experience, it is uniquely yours. So let go and relax. It seems that with each word that I utter and with each breath that you take, you feel yourself drifting deeper and deeper, more and more relaxed. It is such a very warm, peaceful day. The sun overhead, a warm, comforting breeze blowing over your body. So you move the warmth from the sun to the right leg, from the tip of the toes, all the way up to the hip now. And feel the warm light from the sun begin penetration through the flesh. Feel it move through your skin, then go deeply through the muscles and the tendons and the nerves all the way down through the bones. And feel that leg becoming radiant with the light, and feel every cell in it begin to respond and glow and relax as all the tensions and pressures move out of it. From the toe to the hip and back again, that right leg is deeply relaxed, very, very deeply relaxed. With each word that I utter, with each breath that you take, you are drifting and becoming more relaxed. To the left leg, feel the sun penetrate the skin. Experience as it goes through the muscles and the tendons. Know when it goes all the way through the bone, and that the left leg, from the toe to the hip, becomes light and shimmery with the light from the sun, and every cell responds to the energy, and it goes deeper and deeper. Relax. Move the light from the sun now into your stomach area and feel it like a ball of energy warming and glowing in your stomach area. Feel every nerve and every organ and every system in the lower part of your body be healed and respond to the light from the sun. Feel every cell respond and begin glowing with the light and relax deeper and deeper. More and more relaxed by the moment. In the event of an emergency sound, all systems of your body would immediately respond. Your mind would become clear and alert, and all your systems of your body would be ready to respond to any emergency as they should. You would know what to do immediately, without hesitation. Relax. And bring the warmth from the sun up into your chest area, right into your heart, and feel it stream into your heart, and from there, feel the light from the sun begin to radiate out through every cell of your body to your circulatory system. Your heart is relaxed, and is beating as it should. Your blood pressure is proper for you. Your arteries are relaxed and very, very pliable, and the blood moves through them as it should. And the light from the sun moves through the blood to heal every unbalanced condition in your life. Take the warm light from the sun now. Bring it down through the very top of your head, all the way down now, and feel it move all the way down your spine to your tailbone. And feel that light, when it hits your tailbone, begin to move out through your nervous system and move around to your pelvic and then down your leg and then up. And feel every nerve in the body begin to respond to the beautiful light from the sun. Feel it as it moves through the small of the back and around the stomach and every organ and system in that part of the body relaxed and healed. And bring the light to bear through the shoulders and around the chest, and the heart is relaxed. The chest muscles, your breathing is easy. Feel it as it moves across the shoulders and up over the top of the head. Feel the light as it relaxes the little muscles around your eyes, your cheeks, your jaw. Your jaw will open now, and if there is extra saliva, you will swallow it without disturbing yourself. With each word that I say, with each breath that you take, you find yourself going deeper and deeper into relaxation. From this day forward, you will be more relaxed about members of your family, people that you work with, friends and neighbors. All will notice the difference in you. For all you'll do, you need to relax, and all you'll want to do, or have to do, is to take a long, slow, deep breath. Hold that breath to the count of four, and as you count slowly from 8 to 1, allowing all the air to leave your body. As you count the numbers from 8 to 1, you will be reminded to 8, visualize a beautiful spring or summer day and relax. 7, bring the light from the sun down through the top of your head to the tip of your tailbone. 6, feel the light move throughout your entire nervous system, healing, soothing, and relaxing. 5, direct the light from the sun to any area holding extra tension or stress. 4, visualize the area surrounded by the white light from the sun. 3, see every cell in the affected area glowing with the white light from the sun. 2, see that area is healed and perfect. 1, you are a child of the universe. You have a right to be here. You have a right to perfect health and plenty of prosperity, physical health, mental health, and financial abundance. It is yours. Claim it now. Relax until you next hear my voice. You are relaxing. It is a beautiful spring or summer day, and the warm light from the sun has focused down around your body, and it's like you're in a cocoon. You feel warm and protected. Very, very comfortable. We all recognize that as we move through life, so often we pick up hurts and resentments, fears, angers, jealousies, all directed to us or perhaps from us to others. As we grow in acceptance and love, we naturally wish to loosen from our own selves the inflicted mental handcuffs, to be free from our own self-inflicted isolations. Relax now, and let us accomplish a healing forgiveness. For forgiveness means to give up, to replace the ill feelings, to gain a sense of peace and harmony again. It only takes one person acting sincerely to forgive and free many others. You are relaxing on the beach under the warm sun. A circle is beginning to form around you. You are in the middle of the circle. Forming the circle are those individuals who represent the situations and events that will benefit from your forgiveness of them and their forgiveness of you. As that circle is being formed, you are to acknowledge each person, and you notice, as you do, that you are bound to these people by ropes. These ropes represent the negativity between you and them. The negativity can cause illness and disease. A sense of peace is pervading over you as you prepare now to forgive and be forgiven. At this moment, rising from under your feet, beginning to grow stronger and stronger, taking in everyone and beginning to burn through the ropes that bind you to them, is a violet transmuting flame. The color is royal blue or purple, and feel this flame as it begins to surge forward to dissolve the bonds that hold you. Mentally repeat with me, and as you do, feel the flame begin to transmute, to change all the negativity of the situations into positive experiences. Repeat mentally, all that has offended me, I forgive. Within and without, I forgive. Things past, things present, things future, I forgive. I forgive everyone and everything that can possibly need forgiveness of the past, of the present, and of the future. I am free, and they are free too. All things are being cleared up between us now and forever. But most of all, I forgive myself for first having set them in motion. Experience a violet flame burning and setting you free, transmuting, changing into love. Again, feel the flame. Experience the flame changing in the hearts and minds of all of you. Begin to feel and see love for everyone. Mentally affirm, I forgive everything, everyone, every experience, every memory of the past or the present or the future that needs forgiveness. I forgive positively everyone, and everyone forgives me. I abide in peace. I am being healed and cleansed by the violet transmuting flame. The violet flame is dissolving the bonds that bind you, changing each and every cell in your body to a radiant center of love and acceptance. Allow the violet flame to move out of your world and relax. Let it die down and relax. It is a beautiful spring or summer day, and as all the bonds of the past judgments and negative thinking are being released from your world, you will find increased energy, and within the next 24 hours, you may even want to begin a moderate exercise program, as your energy level will begin to improve to that extent. You will look forward to and get a great deal of pleasure from moderate exercise. Now once again, bring the light from the sun down through the top of your head to the tip of your spine and feel the light as it begins to move with each beat of your heart, with each breath that you take throughout your entire nervous system. Feel it and relax deeper and deeper, more relaxed by the minute. Relax, bring in the light and relax. The truth is that you have not been misjudged, nor do you misjudge others. You do not criticize or condemn, and you hold no bitter, revengeful thoughts toward others. You do not believe that you have been or will be unjustly treated, as you release all judgments to the universal law of justice. You are at peace with God and man. Affirm to yourself, I am shown exactly what to do, under all circumstances and in all places. I know what is needed to know when I need to know it, and I am able to do everything perfectly. I express wisdom and understanding and make the right decisions quickly now. My mind is guided by a higher intelligence. Release the power of life within you with these words. Life, life, life. I am thrilled and filled with visualizing, vitalizing life. I am alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. I am the ever-renewing, ever-unfolding expression of life, and feel it move to heal every unbalanced condition of your life. And we come now to the awakening suggestion. At the count of five, your eyes are to open. Your mind is to be clear and alert. The number is one. Begin a stirring in your body and begin coming up. Two, feel the energy surging through your hands and your legs. Three, begin to stretch and move, bringing yourself up, up, up from a deep, restful, relaxing sleep. Four, your mind will be clear and alert, and you're going to feel better than ever before, better than you have in a long, long time. Five, open your eyes. Begin bringing yourself around. You are refreshed and relaxed, alert and enthusiastic, feeling better than you've ever felt before. Thank you.